Do you know the time? What time is it in your life? That's the subject of our talk this morning. We're not concerned that it's 17 minutes to 12. If you know anything at all about preachers, they preach as long as they want to. But our subject we'd like to address this morning is of much greater significance than time as we know it. We would like to cause you to think this morning of the particular season of your life. Where are you now, and where will you be in eternity? I'd like for you to take your Bibles and open with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. And what we don't finish this morning, we will finish tonight, God willing. So it would be nice if you could come back this evening and get the whole message. Let me begin reading in verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The wisest old king that ever lived wrote these words. Listen to them. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What time is it in your life? To every purpose, to every time, there's a reason. Maybe some of you here this morning would say, well, I'm in a time of searching, questioning, curiosity, a time of hope, a time of joy. Some in our midst this morning are in a time of bereavement. Some perhaps in a time of despair. Some happy, some victorious, some sorrowful, some defeated. To some it is a time to live. They have the goal of youth. And they're just eager to live and to get on with life. To some of you, perhaps the sunset has come. Maybe a time to die. I was visiting a lady in the hospital a few years ago, total stranger. Mrs. Hewitt was her name. I walked walked in, the first time I ever encountered anyone who was dying. I was just in Bible school, very inexperienced. Someone called and asked if someone could visit, and I went. I stuttered and I stammered and I tried to talk about the weather and the family, and I didn't know what to say to this woman. She's dying. So finally, I said, "Mrs. Hewitt, I really came here to talk to you about your soul. I don't know what else to say." She started weeping. She had cancer. She was on a heavy dose of morphine every 4 hours for pain. And through tears and sobs, she spit out her story to me. "As long as I had my health and a dollar in my hand, I didn't want God in my life. But I'm afraid to die," she said. And I began to talk to this lady about the love of God and about the Savior who came from heaven to this earth, who poured out his life's blood for her at Calvary. And you know what? She believed it. She received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. She said, "Will you take my funeral?" I said, "Well, I've never taken a funeral before. Maybe you'd rather have someone else, your own minister." She said, "No, I want you to take my funeral, and I want you to tell my family and my grandchildren exactly what you've told me." Isn't that amazing? I visited with her about four times after that, and every time I visited with her, I wrote down all of the things that she told me. 2 weeks she was gone. I had her funeral. But you know what I did? I just read what she said. I just told her family, her children and her grandchildren, "This is what Mrs. Hewitt wanted you to know." And I remember, I still have it on file in my office. "Tell my grandchildren, don't put it off. Don't put it off." That lady, in those 2 weeks, without any pressure from anybody, stopped smoking and witnessed to the lady in the bed beside her of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I believe that lady did more in 2 weeks than some Christians have done in 20 years. God's grace. It was His time. And she knew the time was late. Friend, whatever time it is in your life today, I'm going to tell you, you're running out of it. Time is slipping by. Every tick of the clock, you are closer to giving an account of all that you have done to the Maker. You won't escape. An unbreakable appointment with Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Scripture speaks to us of the brevity of life. Listen to the Scriptures. "We must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Our days on earth are like a shadow, there is none abiding. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. As the cloud is consumed and vanishes away, so he goeth down to the grave, and he shall come up no more. He shall not return to his house, neither shall his place be known any more. We are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon earth are like a shadow. My days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to prey. Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also like a shadow and continueth not. My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The grave is ready for me. Lord, make me to know mine end, and measure and the measure of my days? What is it that I may know how frail I am? As the Lord liveth, there is one step between me and death. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. All of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Oh, friend, if I could somehow get you to think of eternal things this morning. We think of everything. We plan for everything. But when is the last time that you thought about eternal things? When is the last time you considered the claims of Jesus Christ? Or you say, I don't have time for that. In our text that we read, it says, and knowing the time. Do you know what time it is? Do you know that the Bible says that there are times coming in this earth, on this earth, that are going to be called the last days? Paul prophesied that. Paul spoke of that 2,000 years ago. I want to tell you something. We're closer today than he was by 2,000 years. Time's running out. And some say, oh, nothing has changed since the beginning of creation. All remains as it was. No, it hasn't. You're willingly ignorant of that if you think so. But I'll tell you, God is not slack concerning his promises. But he is long-suffering toward all men and women and boys and girls, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We live in a world that's sinking. Turn on your TV. Turn on your radio. Pick up Time magazine or any other news magazine. What do you read? The world is sinking. And we're on board. And we're going down. Does that bother you? Do you care? Most of us like to put it out of our minds. Say, no, we don't care. As long as it doesn't affect us, fine. As long as I got my health, as long as I got a dollar in my hand, I'm fine. Don't bother me. I'm going to tell you, friend, you have no guarantee of your health or of your wealth. 5 years ago this month, the smoke alarm went off in our home 2:30 in the morning, and we suddenly realized that every earthly possession we had except our automobile was gone. Pew! Gone. Isn't that amazing? One night you go to bed and you got all this stuff. Next morning you get up and all you do is just flee for your life. And you stand on a little knoll in front of your house and you watch your house and all of your earthly possessions just go. Gone. The only thing I could think about when I stand on that grassy knoll was this. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You don't have a guarantee that you'll hear another message, that you'll even get to the dining hall. You don't have a guarantee you'll have another time to see a sunrise or a sunset. You have today. That's all you have. What will you do with it? Will you consider the time? The scriptures talk about time. Tells us we ought to know what time it is. The Lord Jesus Christ talked to the very religious people of his day, and you know what he told them? He said, you can tell what the weather is doing, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And I believe there are more people that can tell me what's going to be said at the 11 o'clock news and weather report tonight than they can about their Bibles. That's true. They are faithful to watch the news and the weather. And they can talk with you intelligently about any of those subjects. But when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to eternal things. They drop their head in shame. I'm talking about Christians too. And some of them couldn't even lead another soul to Jesus Christ because they don't even know where to find it in the Scriptures. Jesus called them hypocrites. Religious, pious people all on the outside and nothing on the inside. What time is it in your life? Do you know the signs of the time? You say, oh, it's always been like this. Always been wars. Always been rumors of wars. Always been earthquakes. Always been violence. Always been this and that and the other. Yes, it has. But never to the degree that we have it today. It's accelerating. And this is a sign of the time. Perilous times, yes. Men shall be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, incontinent, without self-control, despisers of those that are good, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Denying that. But on the outside being very religious. What time is it? Let me show you a passage and we'll close here. It's found in Matthew chapter 24. I'd like for you to turn there. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 35, Matthew 24. The Lord Jesus Christ says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now don't go setting dates on the return of Christ. Because there's nobody that knows that, not even the angels. And you certainly don't. But the Lord Jesus Christ gives us something to consider that we might know the season or the time in which the Lord Jesus would come. Not the day, not the hour, but friend, the season. The characteristic of the time in which he would come. Notice his words in verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There are three things hurriedly in this passage that characterize the days just preceding the coming of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice the first one is indifference. They were just eating and drinking. Just eating and drinking. They were getting up in the morning. They were having breakfast. They were going to work. They were coming home. They were eating supper. They were going to bed. They were getting up. They were going to work. They were coming home. They were just indifferent. With a ring of hammers in the background and the preaching of righteousness in the foreground, Noah told them for 120 years. And they couldn't care less. They were indifferent. I talk to people today about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they say, yeah, that's okay. If that's what you want, if that works for you, that's good. Well, me, I've just got my own life. I'm not a bad guy. But I just got my own life. You know, I've got a job, and I got a family, and I got a hobby, and I got this, and, you know, just indifferent. Indifference characterizes the society in which we live. Notice the second one, immorality. How do I know it was immorality? Because it says they were marrying and giving in marriage. You say, isn't that scriptural? Aren't people supposed to marry? Yes. You go back and read the commentary when you got time. Genesis chapter 6. You know what it says? Every imagination of man's thoughts was only evil continually. There was nothing holy in this marriage. There was nothing holy in this giving in marriage. It was immorality. If there's one thing that stands to the top of the pinnacle of our society today, it's immorality. It's true. You go down to a local store and for 99 cents or $1.99, you can bring the most filthiest, dirtiest, sinfulness movie that you ever saw right into your living room. It's just part of our society. Immorality. Movie stars with faces like angels and morals like alley cats. Rock artists with faces like demons and a lifestyle to prove it. And millions are following them. Immorality. And perhaps the worst of all is the third. They were ignorant. They knew not. They knew not until they perished. Until the flood came and took them all away. Friend, our society today is characterized by indifference, it's characterized by immorality, and it's characterized by ignorance. People will not learn what God has to say to them. They go their own merry way, and they don't know what time it is. I'll tell you, there came a day when the water gates of heaven opened up, and the water gates of the earth opened up, and the sky grew dark, and the rain came from above and from beneath. And there were people who were screaming and crying and begging to get into that ark, but it was too late, friend. God had shut the door. It's over. And it didn't matter how loud they screamed. It didn't matter what they knew then. It didn't matter what attitude they had toward immorality or ignorance or indifference. It was too late. Friend, there's coming a day. It's going to be too late. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. Christ is coming. And we're going to meet Him face to face. Do you know what time it is? It's high time you woke out of sleep. A dull, sensitive, unsensitive spirit to eternal things. It's about time we woke up and face reality. There was a man in a meeting, and the preacher preached the gospel of Jesus Christ that he needed to be saved, born again. This man felt in his heart the moving of the Spirit of God. The preacher gave an altar call to come forth and to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe that He died on the cross for your sins, to believe that He took your place, and to receive Him as your personal Savior. That man got up, but he didn't go toward the front of the auditorium. He went toward the back. And when he got outside, he said this, "God, if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone." And he walked away. Years later, as an old man, a younger man was trying to witness to him, and he relayed that story to him. Do you know what that man said? "I kept my bargain, and so did God. It's too late for me." It's not too late for you, friend. Some of you may have heard this message 100 times. You know that you need to make peace with God through Christ, and you've never done it. You put it off and put it off and put it off. Don't you think it's about time you woke up? Do you know what time it is? You don't have any more time. Today is the day of salvation. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You can take the stuttered words of a man and that You can apply them in an indelible way to our hearts. And we believe, our Father, that in this short time this morning, the Spirit of God has indeed spoken to someone. shook them a little bit, maybe, and just got them to realize that time's running out. That we can't boast of tomorrow. The ink is dried in yesterday's print. Tomorrow may never be written. Father, we pray for a moving of the Spirit of God over this congregation this morning, and that boys and girls and men and women might seriously consider where they stand before a holy and a righteous God. Father, we cannot convince them, nor could we save them if we did convince them. So we just commit them to thy moving, to thy convicting ministry, and pray if it please thee this morning to open the eyes of someone, maybe even a believer, who's just been playing games, and they need to consider their ways. Father, we make these requests and give our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. If you'd like to talk, I'll be available. We're not going to pressure you and embarrass you in any way, because it doesn't make any difference what you do before us, but what you do before God will count for eternity. I hope you'll come back tonight. I'm just getting started on this message, and I'd like to give you the whole thing. Any other announcements?